respond. I will invite one of our wardens, Jim Circum, to come forward with an ask.
Good morning, one and all. Well, here I am once again. Barb and I would like to present an idea to you. And as a member of St. James Westminster, perhaps you know of someone who you think would be a good fit for the selection committee, even yourself. As Reverend Keith announced at Vestry, he is to retire on December 31st. We have officially begun the journey to find a new rector for St. James. We're looking for six people to build a selection committee. You may nominate someone or yourself. Please include a short paragraph or perhaps some bullet points describing what skills or talents your nominee would bring to the committee. Please consider the time commitment necessary for the task. We'll be meeting regularly, gathering information, reporting to the parish, and the final membership of the committee will be voted on by the parish council. The deadline to submit names is 3 p.m. Monday, May the 16th. That's tomorrow. Nominations can be emailed to the wardens or sealed in an envelope and dropped off to the office. We are determined to create a committee that is up for the task, one that will move our ministry forward, and we hope will consider our appeal. Enjoy the service. Enjoy your Sunday.
Thank you, Jim. And contrary to popular opinion, I haven't started counting down the days, at least not yet. That won't be too far away, I'm sure. Many of you are probably expecting to see Hannah in this spot this morning. I got a call yesterday that Archdeacon Rosalind Elm, our Archdeacon for Indigenous Ministries, needed Hannah to be in Oneida this morning. So I said, if Hannah needs to be in Oneida, Hannah needs to be in Oneida, and I will need to be here. So I'm here. So we'll probably figure out a make-up Sunday for Hannah to come and be with us and preach in the near future. This afternoon at 2:30 at Wesley Knox United Church, just half a block down the road, there will be a memorial service in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. The interim minister at Wesley Knox thought it important that the community have a way to express our sadness, our sorrow, and come to terms with what's happened over the last 2 years. So several churches in the community, in the village, are taking part. I've been asked to share and do a reflection as part of the service, so I'll be happy to do that. You are encouraged to attend. And there's another way that you can participate, and that is with the board that's here at the front. What they're doing is asking people to write on a sticky note something that has impacted them during the pandemic, whether it be a physical loss or emotional strain, mental health issues, whatever you want to write down. You don't have to sign it or anything like that. There are boards in all the churches that are participating. That board will go with me this afternoon and will be at the service, and all of our thoughts and prayers will be prayed over during the service. So that's at 2:30 this afternoon. You are certainly invited to attend. It's Synod. The Synod begins with the barbecue this afternoon for the delegates, and then the Synod service tonight at the cathedral, and then a full day of business tomorrow. So we would ask you to pray for the business meeting of our diocese as people come together. Many of us haven't seen each other in person for over 2 years. So it's something that I think a lot of us are looking forward to just get connected again. That's part and parcel of things that we've lost during the pandemic. A quick moment of silence, and then we will continue with our worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another and walk in the way of his commandments, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the first reading.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of water of life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. To repeat one of my favorite lines, context, 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 context. Lovely reading this morning, you know, about loving one another. That's how we'll be known, is to love one another. Beautiful reading from John, but what's around it? What's the rest of the story? John's understanding and the way John writes about the time leading up to Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension is radically different to what you find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Doesn't make anybody right or wrong. It just means that there are different perspectives on the story, and we need to make sure that we keep those perspectives in place. To keep perspective in place, you have to ask yourself, well, what led into this story and what follows out of this story? And when you do that, sometimes you find the most startling things, because this was something that I had never noticed before. Right before this passage, we hear the story of Judas's betrayal, or pending betrayal of Jesus. So we hear the story that Judas is going to betray Jesus. Right after this story, we hear Peter say, well, I can go where you go, Lord. And Jesus said, not only can you not go where I go, you will deny me three times. So make that connection around both sides of Jesus saying, a new commandment I give you, love one another, Judas's betrayal, and Peter's betrayal. Now, we know a lot about what happened with Peter. I've always felt that Judas is somewhat of a no-go for people to talk about, that we don't really want to deal with that. So just doing a very quick survey of the four Gospels, they're all different in what they say about Jesus. Only Matthew tells us the story that most people will say, well, Judas felt so bad that he went and committed suicide. He gave back the pieces of silver. But that leaves out an important reference from Matthew's gospel, that Judas repented. That's why he gave back the silver. So now we begin to understand the ministry of Jesus, because we take these two characters that we have vastly different understandings of. I mean, I quite often stand up here and say, I'm Peter. I'm the guy that sticks his foot in his mouth. Why put one foot in your mouth when there's room for two? But I believe that Jesus accepts me back, always. That I'll get it wrong, but I'll get it right. But we don't seem to give Judas that opportunity. He's the bad guy. But is he? There's not necessarily an answer, but when we take this in perspective of the story of Judas leading into this and the story of Peter coming out of this, what is Jesus saying to us? When he's saying, knowing that both Judas and Peter will betray him, he says, a new commandment I give to you. Well, we might wonder about that language, because I think love was always a pretty important thing, but Jesus was very, very pronounced in this statement. A new commandment I give you, love one another. Now, he didn't say, a new commandment I give you, love everybody and Peter, but not Judas. So what I came away thinking about is how we respond to Jesus' call to love one another. Because Jesus' call is not to love those that we find lovable. Jesus' call is not to love those who do things the same way we do. Jesus simply says, this is how they'll know that you follow me, when you love one another. So how's the church done on that? we've been good at loving one another over history. Well, we could have a long discussion about this. It's a fascinating journey to go through the whole Judas understanding and ask yourself, why was there a need for somebody to betray Jesus? That's the subject of another homily. I just like to pose questions for you to think about, because I think it's relevant to this whole understanding about loving one another. If there's anything that's going on in the Anglican Church today, is that we are trying to greatly increase the circle of those that we love. The terms social justice and inclusion are front and center in homilies most of the time in the Anglican Church. There are certainly lots of churches that perhaps don't draw the net as wide, but that doesn't mean that we've got it right either. There's still more to do, more to understand about what it means to love one another. See, loving one another, when it's loving the people that we already like, is the easiest thing in the world to do. If we know anything about what Jesus said in the Gospels, it's that the way of Jesus is not supposed to be an easy road. And in fact, as we dig deeper and deeper and deeper into our faith, we should find more and more questions and things that call us to ask us, who do we love? We should be able to have a reasonable conversation amongst ourselves when we say, okay, Judas and Peter bookends on the whole understanding of love one another. How do we love them? Is there a different way, broader way to understand what love means? Has the church been too narrow in trying to figure this out? There's a favorite song that I quote a lot of times. It's by a somewhat obscure Christian rock group called Petra, and it's such a wonderful song, I can't even remember the name of it, but there's one line in the song that I have never been able to forget. So you say you've walked 10,000 steps away. Don't you know it's only one step back? That's the kind of love that Jesus calls us to. We have all wandered away. We all do wander away. Every time that we choose not to love someone, we betray Jesus just as Judas and Peter did. And it's an easy thing to choose not to love someone who's different, who does things different ways. But we are known by the way we love. And that means that it has to be a love that's based on relationship, willing to get to know people, willing to change our minds, willing to increase our circle, willing to ask questions instead of spouting answers. And that's not easy to do. Because when I have the right answer, when I know I have the right answer, and I can see the right answer and walk away, that means it's easy. But when I say I have the right answer and somebody questions me and somebody says, well, that's not very loving, all of a sudden, that's hard. Because I have to stop and think, why? Does God call me? Am I really called? Am I really doing what I'm supposed to do? Another of my favorite sayings is, a good homily takes a question and answers it with five more questions, which leads to five more homilies, which answer one question with five more questions, and we continue to have questions. And that's the answer to love. I really believe it is. Never to judge, always to learn. Love is about learning who people are. What makes them tick. Love is about not drawing lines, but saying, come and talk. Tell me who you are. Tell me what you believe. Tell me how you relate to Jesus, how you relate to God. I left the church a long time ago because it was a square box that absolutely would not bend. I'm happy to say that I don't think that church in the Anglican world exists today. But I think we still have a long way to go. Yes, we are still 10,000 steps away. It's just one step back. Amen. As you are able, I invite you to stand. Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, standing, sitting, or kneeling.
It is God's love that has drawn us here together. Let us pray to him now. Father, wherever Christians are fussing and arguing, living outside your will or without the responsible love you teach, bring about deep cleansing, healing, and renewing so that we can really be your body in our world. Lord, you show us what loving really means. Father, wherever injustice stifles human growth and selfish ambition distorts leadership, bring about right and good government throughout the world, born of your wisdom and humility. Lord, you show us what loving love. Father, as we watch our children growing, remind us of our calling to grow more loving in the ways we deal with conflict, approach difficulties, and address the needs of those we meet. Lord, you show us what loving really means. Father, in the places of long-term care and sudden shock of weariness, disappointment, and fear, bring about the peace only you can give and the comfort which speaks of hope. Lord, you show us what loving really means. In our parish, Lord, we pray for Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Stella Woodhouse, Anna Woodson, Gwen Boniface, Chris Huseman, and Rick. Lord, you show us what loving really means. Father, may the physical death of those we now recall be nothing less than the gateway to a new and lasting life in your love and protection. Lord, you show us what loving really means. So, Heavenly Father, we offer you our hearts with all the love you find inside, and thank you for putting it there. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love, and God is infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. So let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share a sign of Christ's peace among us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
gives you praise. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He healed the sick and ate and drank with outcasts and sinners. He opened the eyes of the blind and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and to those in need. In all things, he fulfilled your gracious will. On the night he freely gave himself to death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin and death. By raising him to life, you give us life forevermore. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again in glory, we offer you, Father, this bread and this cup. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body and one holy people, a living sacrifice in Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we died with you on the cross. Now we are raised to new life. We were buried in your tomb.
Share in your resurrection.
Live in us that we may live in you. Changing many, many times over 2 years of the pandemic, but we think this is the way it will go for the foreseeable future. Communion is available in both kinds, the bread and the wine. We know that there are many who are not yet comfortable in receiving from the common cup, so you don't have to receive both. Either one is a valid communion. So if you wish to receive the bread only, come to this side. You may stand or kneel, receive the bread, and then go back to your seat. If you wish to receive both, after you have come to this station and received the bread, move to the other station, and again, you can either stand or kneel, and the chalice will be administered there. If you need gluten-free, we do have gluten-free wafers available. Just ask the person who is serving you. They'll be happy to comply. And if all of this just seems too complicated, and you would rather just have a blessing as you come forward to the bread station, just cross your arms like this, and we would be happy to give you a blessing. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.